Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Isaiah 40. As we prepare to go into this season of fast, I want you to know that God is interested in you. And that God has not forgotten you. And that God has a good plan for your life. This realization is what we are going to the place of prayer with. That there is nothing God has started in your life that He will not redeem. There is no word God has spoken about you that He will not come back to stand by His own word. God is not afraid of your destiny. God is the maker of your destiny. And many times Satan tries to distract us by moving our focus away from God. So that we will lose balance and then we begin to struggle. And when you begin to struggle, you begin to feel that maybe God has forgotten you. God did not forget you. There is nobody on this earth that God made that He has forgotten. The Bible says we are inscribed upon the palms of His hands. That means every time God picks up His pen in the morning to write, and He does like this, He sees your name. His hands and His palms are so big, they are so large, He can afford to write 7 billion names on it. And every name is unique. No name will cover another. No star will cover another. You are that important. Forget about the fact that your president doesn't know you and your governor has no regard for you. But the Almighty God, took His time and used His pen and wrote David Adeyemi. And there's only one David as far as He's concerned. That David is you. If there's another David, He will write it in another way. So that when He sees it, He knows the person He's talking about. And how does He do that? He said, technology called the Spirit of God. He said, if I, through the finger of God, cast out devils, then the kingdom of God has come to you. So it is through the orchestration of the Spirit of God that God is able to keep tabs on everybody. Verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that our warfare is what? Accomplished. It's over. Some of you have been fighting for so long. You are not even aware it is possible to enter into a warfare free zone. Maybe one or two people caught it, but God said, you see the reason why God documented this in the scripture, so that nobody will tell you another thing. You've been fighting for so long, but God said, tell her that now, this season, as we enter the month of July, God says your warfare is over. The battle for your family, the battle for your soul, the battle for your destiny. God said that warfare is over. He said that, tell her that her iniquity has been pardoned. Because there are some of you, you are benefiting from the result of the sins of your fathers. Your parents, your great-grandfather, they killed somebody when they were alive. And now you are reaping the result through sickness and poverty. And you don't know where that thing is coming from. You won't understand what poverty is until you have a master's degree and you still don't have a job. Say, our iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all us. That means when they weighed your sins and said, this is the judgment, then God said, flip it the other way, give her double. That's what God is saying. Say, for there is a voice of him that is crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This is another thing entirely. Speaks about John the Baptist, but there's an angle to it that concerns you. When the Lord brings forth a word, an assurance, a promise to you, most times a prophecy comes to somebody who is somehow stuck in a desert. You are in a phase in your life where you have a lot of questions without answers. That's a desert. And the Lord says, when you receive a word like this, get up, start preparing a way. Start making straight path for your feet, because you are going to come out of that place. That's what God is saying. So it is on the strength of that prophetic word that you are going to get up. You are going to look like a fool for some time. Because when you start walking, you won't see rain. You won't see water. The only thing you have is that God said that you are going to receive double for everything you have suffered. So when you take that word, people may not really understand. You just keep quiet and keep walking. Say, prepare a path for the Lord. So there is a channel through which God will find you. The problem is that many times we receive a word from God and then we go and sleep. When you receive a word from the Lord, the next thing to do is to go and pray. And it is through prayer that you begin to make straight path. Through prayer, you begin to make straight path. Through the guidance based on that which the Lord has revealed to you, you begin to make straight path. You don't make straight path based on interest or emotion. You make straight path based on that which the Lord has placed upon your heart. And in verse 4, it says, every valley in this regard shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made plain. You know, have you ever had experience a very sharp turn, rough-edged turn before? Have you ever had a difficult 1 month? Always one issue or the other in your office, or all some kind of issues just back to back. It's as if there's like a sequence, just follows you back to back, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you are like, then you even stop sleeping well. And God said, he looked at all those crooked paths, and then he said, let us straighten it. A way to describe someone with a crooked path is like somebody who cannot walk straight, who has a K leg or a bow leg. And then God takes that leg and straightens it. The desire of that man to walk well is not the problem. The problem here is that the bone structure is such that he cannot, even if he wants to. And God says that part of the healing is going to be bringing to us is to stretch and straighten areas of our lives that have been crooked. Come on, I just want to say amen. Now, the reason why many are not bothered is because the crooked part of their life is that area where they can cover with a cloth. So some people have a particular dress style. They dress in a particular way to cover something they don't want people to know. Many years ago, there was this man who was so rich in the neighborhood and people would wish to be him. And the man knew. The man was so rich that every time he drove across the street going out, people will wave and be praying, kneel down and be praying, like, if I can just be like this. It's just like saying, see Paris and die. Once you see Paris, just jump into the ocean and die, because nothing is better. Then you die, you now hear there's Dubai. But it's now too late. They've closed the gate, you can't come back. One day the man parked on the road. And people started, you know the way we do it in Nigeria, we hail some of these people. And the man just said, you want to be like me? And came down from his vehicle. You want to be like me? And he kept repeating, you want to be like me? And he raised his traditional garment, his agbada, raised it up. And they saw the place decaying, the part of his stomach. Say, you want to be like me? You are only wishing for what you can see. Do you want this one too? He raised the agbada up. Saw, very deep saw that was not healing. Everybody stop praying. Say, you now start hearing her. Even if it's just Gary, I have in my house. Once there is peace of mind, I am happy. But you are here wishing for Cherokee and Land Rover. Now, listen to me. If you want to come out of that phase where you wish to be others, you must see the Lord. You must see the Lord. Only a genuine gaze on who the Lord is can redeem you from wishing to be others. There are many men who wish to be married to other women. But that's because you've not stayed in the house with that woman. There are many women who wish to be married to other men, not knowing that that man is a product of one woman that suffered. Be careful what you wish for. One thing you can be sure of is that God has made you a promise that if you stay with him, that which is crooked can be made straight again. And that will be your testimony. In the month of July, as we gather, the Lord by himself, not another, the Lord by himself will visit you. He will visit your family. And he will stretch out those bones. He will bring healing. He will bring deliverance. He will bring help from Zion. He says he will make the rough places plain. He said, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it. That means that which God wants to do is something tangible. You have to believe it. Look at me. God is the only one that is rooting for you. God is the only one. People may tell you it is well. They are just telling you so that you won't disturb them. God is the only one who has his integrity at stake, because he said to you that he will say to you. It's his integrity. It's not yours. You, even if you say you heard God and you say maybe I made a mistake, it's God's word. When Joseph said, I had a dream, I saw myself, as a star, people bowed down to me. It was God's integrity at stake. Did Joseph know how that dream will come to pass? Up to the last minute, did he know that was the day the thing will come to pass? So why are you to be looking at and studying calendar for God? He said, for the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. It is the glory of God that separates boys from men. When God reveals his glory in your life, one of the things you are going to see is that you are effortlessly moving from level to level. You are not trying to be famous. Because sometimes people confuse fame with glory. Fame is yours, glory is his. He said, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, all flesh will see it, including those who are not born again. They will see it. They will see that this is the hand of God in somebody's life. You see, I perceive that the Lord is about to do something in someone's life. And let me describe what I'm saying. The Lord is going to change your life in a way that you will forget your poverty. You will not remember what it felt like to be in that state you are in now. When you try to tell people, God will not only heal you, he will take away that memory from you. The memory of your pain, the memory of your dark past, the memory of that shadow that is cast over you, the Lord will take it away. All you will just be seeing now is his glory. Come on, say louder, amen. When we come in the month of July, we are coming to stand for our families. You are not coming alone. You are coming to stand for your family. When we pray and begin to invoke the covenant of fruitfulness, don't just pray for yourself. Mention the names of your siblings. Come on, say I hear you. So, sometimes your prayers are not answered because you are selfish. Pray. Mention your brother's name. Isiakpona. Mention his name. Whatever his name is, in Greek or Hebrew, mention it. And pray for that your friend. Don't tell them you are praying for them, but bring their names. The Bible says Job was healed of the Lord when he prayed for his friends. It's a spiritual principle. Not everything, God, me. No, as we come, pray for yourself, pray for your family members, pray for your friends. That's the way it works. Go and check intercessors. Intercessors rarely ask for anything for themselves. That's why they are always blessed. Somebody say, Pastor, I don't have anything to give. It's a lie. Everybody has something to give. The problem is that you don't even think that which you can give, you are willing to give. Do you know some people can come to this prayer month and they will not pray one prayer for themselves? When I was first, when I first became a Christian, and they told me to start learning how to pray. Do you know the key they gave me? They say you learn how to pray by praying for people. I wasn't speaking in tongues then. So when I want to pray, I just take my paper and my pen and I write down the names of people. My family members, my friends, people that needed to give their life to Christ. So I will write down 10 names. Then I spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes on each of them. And I begin to pray the will of God into the lives of these people. That's how I learned how to pray. So I'm giving you a prayer because sometimes people won't tell you what they are doing. How they got to the level they are in. They will just tell you, go and do it. I'm telling you how this thing works. No selfish man will prevail in the place of prayer. Now, I want to bring a particular emphasis in verse 9. He said, O Zion, that bringest good news, get yourself up into the high mountain. Now, O Zion can be O Tina. Can be O David. He said, O David, that bringest good news. This month of prayer, you are coming back with good news. Listen to me if you are angry. Don't let the budget or the situation in Nigeria deceive you. God has a plan for you. And that plan is unique to you. God is not waiting for who will win the presidential election to say anything. The earlier you hold on to Jesus, the better. God says that here, you are a bringer of good news. That means as we step into the month of prayer, you will not use those lips again to give anybody bad news. Nobody will send you to go and tell somebody or somebody died. Nobody will ask you to go and tell somebody or something bad has happened to your sister. Yeah, it will not be you. You say you are a bringer of good news. Come on, say I'm a bringer of good news. Come on, say I'm a bringer of good news. He says, oh Zion, the bringer of good tidings, get yourself up into the high mountain. The mountain is where we pray. You want good news? Let's get up into the mountain. When we open the doors, 6 p.m. every evening, and we start to pray. Stop waiting for who will come first. Enter the meeting and start praying in tongues. The pastor may even be on top of a plate of amala. That's not your business. You get yourself into the prayer room and start praying. The bringer of good news are those that have been commanded to get up into the mountain. He said, get yourself into the mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Because you already know that every time you spend considerable time with God, the evidence that you have sought him is that it gives you good news. It tells you that thing is settled. And that is the only ticket you are bringing back. That's the only certificate. You say, that thing has been settled. That thing has been settled. God will not come and give you money. He will tell you that, and then he will command men to give to you. When I went to Benin City, I saw some very elderly people. And they came to me and they said, these are people with gray hair. They said, we want to join the prayer online. Gray hair. I say, do you know me, Seller? They said, we don't know me, Seller. Do you know Zoom? He said, we don't know Zoom. I said, oh, what do we do? So now we have to start, I have to tell Pastor Barra to start setting them up. Set them up. So when you want to be doing Lagos Bobo or Lagos Babe, some elderly people with gray hair are joining the meeting. And they told me, I'm coming for my children. I'm coming to this meeting because of my children. This is not a meeting where you will come and be. We are not here to preach message. This 1 month, we are here to pray. He said, if you want good tidings, get up to the high mountain and lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, do not be afraid. That's what he says. Sometimes you may be dealing with situations that make you afraid because you have been in those situations for so many years. You wake up, you see them. You go to bed, you see them. In your dream, they show up. It's as if you are always around this restriction. You are unable to break through completely. And God says, do not be afraid. Because one of the things that take people out is the spirit of fear. We have the demon of fear is the most common demon in the universe. It takes people out. It makes people fail exam before they write it. Say, do not be afraid. These are principles. Are you a bringer of good tidings? Then God says, if you are one of those people, get yourself up into the mountain. The word of God says, call together, bring together my sons, who have made a covenant with me. By what? By sacrifice. The sacrifice of time, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of prayers, the sacrifice of giving, the sacrifice of your seed. If there is something that is you need God to move in majorly concerning you, this is the season. This is the season. He said, come. He said, do not be afraid. He said, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. When we get on this mountain, you will see God. You will see God. He will show up individually to everybody. Come on, say amen. Amen. Our generation must believe again that our God can reveal himself. We must believe. We must believe. Come on, say I believe. Come on, say I believe. Solomon gave an offering of 1,000 animals and God came. It is not the folks in the Old Testament that should be saying they saw God. It's an error. The Bible says we have been given better promises, established upon a better covenant. If there is anybody that should be seeing God now, it's us. But there is a level of faith that must be given to you so that you now know you cannot make a decision until you have prayed through and you have heard the voice of God. He said, behold, look, behold your God, Zion. Behold him. He's here. He's here. Others may come and they will be going about buying chin-chin on the... Because some people come for special program, they just go to where they are selling things and they are buying things. That's why then they are waiting for the final day, the anointing service. You are deceiving yourself. The reason why God says come to the mountain so that you can travel light. You can't climb a mountain with heavy load. With bag. You have to drop the bag, drop your fear, drop your depression. Let's go up together. Say, behold your God. Say, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. He will come with a strong hand. That's talking about the Holy Ghost. He will come out with a strong hand and his arm shall rule for him. For behold, his reward is with him and his work is before him. Don't stay in the valley. Don't stay in the valley. There are people that have dealt with situations in their life. And really, a lot of people love God. But there are things around their life that is limiting them. There are limitations. And when you have some of those limitations, it makes your testimony weak. It makes your testimony shallow. But God said, look, you see, I'm coming. You see, my reward is with me. But the reward is coming to those on the mountain. I shared with you guys, was it last week or so? I'm not sure. I said this year, all of us will fast. Whether you are pregnant or not, we will fast. If you are pregnant, you will fast from Netflix. You will fast from Facebook. You will fast from Instagram. You won't post any picture. Say, this is how I woke up this morning. Nobody wants to know how you woke up this morning. Get up and pray. Get up and pray. Get up into a mountain. Nobody looks at the mirror on the mountain. Will we fast? No, you will not watch film. That wine, you like taking wine every evening. You will be looking at the wine in the cellar. You will not touch it. Some of you work in places where they cook food. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you. I'm praying for you sincerely. God will tell you, I'm going to taste it. What are the salt? Now, let me tell you something. If your work involves tasting, you're a taster. By all means, taste. If that's your job. I didn't say eat, I said taste. You see, the problem is that your mind is not even in the fasting before. So, the moment you tasted, in those days, when we taste, we will now go and break that. I mistakenly tasted something. So just cuckoo, eat the food, you know. But this fasting, if you taste, you must continue the fast. If I ask you to come and lead prayer and you broke the fasting by 12, don't try it. Just tell me, Pastor, 12:05, my mind no carry the thing, guy. I don't chop. I say, okay, go and sit down. Let somebody else come and. If you go for a prayer meeting, a fasting, 3 days fast, By the 7 days fasting, by the third day, if you see any brother, I see shouting, he has eaten. When I went to Ghana, you know, they pray. The meeting I went for was a Sunday meeting, 2 p.m. Guess when we close the service? 2 p.m. Guess. Like, just give me a guess. Four or five. You are a spiritual person. Give me correct Lagos time. What? Sunday afternoon. You know, when we go for prophetic streams, some of us will be complaining. 8:30. 3:30. Yeah. You know, you will be complaining. Our pastor is always at the end of the meeting. The spirit will be coming, and it will take us to 9 p.m. Meanwhile, prophetic stream starts like 6 p.m. They started that meeting 2 o'clock, 2:30. We worshipped for 2 hours. That's standard harvest world service time. Then we now prayed. In short, by the time it was 6:30, we were still praying. And there's a way they pray. I say, make I take her easy. Make I not come. Make guest minister no collapse here. They come here. Carry him on. Maybe it's possession. Demon possession. I say, I just manage myself. The message started around 7. Then I picked up the mic around 10. Me. 10 p.m. Everybody, nobody left. About 300 people. Nobody left. That's what it means to get up into the mountain. 8 hours in God's presence. You understand? 8 hours. And they do it like that too. Every Sunday. How desperate you are will determine the kind of allocation that comes to you. Ask your neighbor, how desperate are you? How much do you want that which you are asking for? I met Ghanaians that pray. It was encouraging. It's encouraging. So when we pray, when we are praying in the month of July, don't ask for prayer points. Just I noticed something there. They don't ask for prayer points. They have to place it. When they say, let us pray, they just start praying. What's prayer points? I don't know. That's okay. Just continue praying. Just pray. Just pray. You will find your navigation somewhere, but just pray. Don't come and say, okay, let me wait for the next prayer point before I join. Once you, from the gate, just be praying and be coming here. I say this, I'll go and try it. 8 hours. You just notice from the back, people are disappearing. This pastor is a wicked man. Give me the next verse. He said, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm. The weak ones amongst us, God say we lift them in his arms. Because we are not all at the same level. Those that are strong and mature, he will lead us by his word. Those that are weak amongst us, God says he will carry them. So God has made provision for everybody in this month of July. Everybody. Even if you cannot pray, God said he will give you grace. He will carry you. That your 30 minutes prayer will give you result. So this is not a meeting for super spiritual people. Everybody, God said he has made provision. He said he will carry the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom. Because there are some of us here, we have been too messed up and bastardized. We need a lot of special care from the Lord himself. Have you ever dealt with a situation where you prayed and the more you prayed, it's as if you are losing energy, you are losing steam, you are getting discouraged. It's as if your prayers are even, you are now getting farther away from the Lord. And the Lord said, look, I have something for you. I will gently lead those that are with young. He said, those of you that are with young, I won't lead you the way I lead Pastor David. That's what he's saying. You just say, come, hold my hand. Oh yeah, hold my hand. It's just like when you are on the road with your child. Oh yeah, hold my hand. You know, when I take my son out, maybe to cut his hair, once we get to the express, if I just do my hand like this, his hand goes straight into my hand. If I just do this way, I stretch out my hand by the side, I will just feel his hand straight. It's called alignment. It just comes into my hand. He said, I will gently lead those that are... That same posture. Follow me. Anybody that sees you will know who your owner is. Follow me. You have been messed up. You have been bastardized. But this time, when they see me, they see who is holding you, they will give chance. They will make way for you. Come on, say they will make way for me. They are making way for me. Because he is with you. And he's holding my hand. And he's leading me into the next phase of my destiny. You will never be seen to be alone again. Listen to me. God has made provision for everyone in his house. Everyone. In this month of July, there is no pastor. I'm also a son in the house. I will come and sit down so that he can lead me. So that he can lead me. We all need direction. We all need direction. That's the difference between you and another person. The sense of direction. So that you don't labor for trouble. You don't labor, and they're going to ask, why are you here? I'm not here now. And you spent 2 years. I'm not here. So what are you doing here? He said, I will lead them that are with like with young. He said, just hold their hands. Follow me. No word needs to be spoken. But he knows the way. And he's taking you there. And he's taking you there. By the time he drops that plane lands July 31, you look at your life. Testimonies. Come on, say, I believe that this is my season of remembrance. That this is my season of glory. That this is my season of honor. Oh, the glory of God will not pass me by. I am stepping into the high places of the earth. I'm riding in the high places of the earth. Because this is my season of remembrance. The season of Bethesda. Welcome to the house of mercy. Welcome to the house of mercy. Everyone who comes will find God's mercy. Will find God's help. None will be forgotten. None will be cast aside. None will be left behind. Because he will lead those that are stronger with his hand. And even those that are younger, he will lead them. None will be left by the road. Because he is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. Listen to me. There are a lot of Christians in Nigeria now who are struggling with depression. But God says, I'm coming for you. So I'm coming for you. You don't need to deal with that depression again. Because your shepherd, he says, I will hold your hand this time. You have been praying and you kept asking yourself, is God even aware of what I'm going through? God said, I will show you by leading you by the hand. He said, I will show you. That means when I am beside you, you will know that I am beside you. I will no more be hiding. I will no more be in hiding. You will feel his hand. You will feel his hand leading you. You will know in your spirit that you are not alone. You will know in your life that you are not alone. Because he's going to hold your hand and he will lead you. You will be led of the Lord. You will be led of the Lord. You will be led of the Lord. That will be your assurance. That will be your assurance. Somehow you can't explain it. But his presence is there. And you feel his hand in your hand. And that gives you assurance that you are not alone. A lot of people are in depression because they are not sure if God is with them. But God says now, whether you are young or old, I will hold your hand. That means this month of July, every one of us will have a personal experience. Every one of us will have a personal experience. You are going to have a personal experience. You will be visited by the Lord. Come on, say, I'll be visited. Come on, say, I'll be visited. Declare, this my season of divine visitation. Declare, this is my season of divine visitation. In the month of July, I am coming into my season of divine visitation. Listen to me. There are idols. There are idols in the family tree. This month of July, there will be a complete separation. You know, one of the things about idols of familiar spirits is that they feel entitled. Because it was somebody in your family that brought them. I prayed and ministered to a lady. And the lady came, that was like 3 years ago. She came because she was not getting married. She's like 40-something years. About 40, 41. And when she sat in front of me, the Lord told me, "Say, this lady, the problem is not the husband. She has already been married off to an idol, a family idol." I look at this lady in front of me, looking very nice, nicely dressed. And the Lord is saying that she was married off to an idol. Then I asked her, I said, "Madam, I'm seeing a family idol, demon, in your family compound." And then I described the compound, and I told her, "On this side of the compound, there is a shrine, like a shrine, where that statue was placed." She comes from a Muslim family, but that did not affect their worshipping other idols. It was the great-grandfather that brought the idol to the house. Though he said it was an allergy, but he said, "This is our family demon." So when they gave birth to the girl, they brought the baby to the altar and said, "Oloku, we have brought your child." They thought it was just ordinary ceremony. As far as that demon is concerned, "This is now my wife. This is my child." So the demon had taken possession of that baby. And that is why the issue of child dedication is not a religious right. Where you choose to start your life is important too. You can choose to name your child in your bedroom. Good for you. But altars are formed from the very first day. That baby was brought to that idol and they were dancing, they shared food. People thought it was nothing. 40 years down the line, God says she can't marry because there's a demon somewhere in Kogi State. Listen to me. I don't know if your story is similar to this, but in the month of July, we are sending all of them packing. In the month of July, power will jam power. Listen to me. There are people that live in the U.S. and they are struggling with the same thing. This thing is not location restricted or location bound. It's not. Why is Nigeria always having problem with choosing a leader? We always vote for the wrong people. There's a problem at the foundation. Why do we say we want change? And yet we gang up against that which God wants to do. Listen to me. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If we choose not to allow God to be our king in this nation, you can vote for anybody to not work. There are protests in the U.S. going on today now. Because the Supreme Court said there should not be abortion again. Can you see a nation? Since the year, I think about 50 years that law was passed, 65 million babies have been killed. There is actually a god in the scriptures, an idol, that is responsible for taking Molech, the sacrifice of children, babies. Now, you call it abortion. God calls it child sacrifice. So how do you expect that country to be free from oppression? Why do you think people wake up and they're always depressed and they are killing themselves? That's the US you are trying to relocate to. But those who are there, they are jumping from buildings and because the altars have been established everywhere in hospitals. Now people are protesting. Here we are protesting for good leadership. There they are protesting because they are not allowing them to kill their children. Even Obama came out, said the same thing, he's not happy. That why should a woman not be allowed to kill her child if she wants? That is her right as the mother. What about the right of the father? So people set up altars in families, in nations, through practices. But this month of July, the Bible says because you're a peculiar people and a holy nation, you shall be completely separated from them. Listen to me. If we are going to have special services for healing in the month of July. And we are going to have I'm going to announce periods during the day, afternoon sessions, where you log in on Zoom and I'm going to pray with you personally. But listen to me. Don't come into the month of July with the expectation that you are going back with that problem. Come on, say amen. I said don't come into July with the expectation that I'm only just coming to pray. No. You are coming to the mountain of solutions. Which means, whatever it is you came in with that day, on the last day of July, 31st, you are not going back with it. Because the Lord is the rewarder. And He will settle you. I said He will settle you. I said He will settle you. I said He will settle you. Who can we liken our God to? Who can we compare our God to? The Bible says, all nations before Him has nothing. Isaiah 40 verse 17. He said, all nations before Him has nothing. Oh! See, they are counted as nothing. In verse 15, He says, behold, the nations are like a drop of a bucket. When you turn your bucket upside down and one drop of water touches the ground. God said that is how all the nations of the world are before Him. Listen to me. The way you see your God is the way He will reveal Himself. Get your faith level up. Come on. Get your faith level up. God is not weak. God does not have power. God is power. And He will redeem. He will save. He will restore. Because that is who He is. Believe and be saved. Believe and be saved. Every ailment, every medical condition, every curse, every backwardness, whatever it is that brings shame to your life, the power of God will invade those things, and then you'll be given a white garment. I said you'll be given a white garment, and there shall be no stain. 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 When you stand in the glory. When you stand in the glory. When you stand in the excellence of our God. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. To whom shall you liken God in verse 18? And to what likeness will you compare Him? The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold, and he casts silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. These are the things people do when they don't know who God is. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Had it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth that it is God that sits upon the circles of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that brings the princes to nothing, He maketh the judges of the earth to be as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalks shall not take root. Come and declare they will not take root. They will not take root. Every work of darkness, every imagination of wicked forces, every assault against your health, every assault against your life, it will not take root. Open your mouth and pray, it will not take root. It will not take root. It will not take root. Every imagination of wicked forces over my life, every intention of Satan over my life, for the evil one cometh, not but to steal, to kill and to destroy, but Jesus came that I may have life and have it more abundantly. It will not take root. It will not take root. It will not take root. It will not take root.
You are getting married. You are getting that job. God's glory is coming upon you. You are rising from that sickness. You are rising from that pain. It will not take root. Declare it will not take root. It will not take root. It will not take root. It will not take root over my life, over my family. The intentions of the enemy will not take root over this church, over every member of this church. It will not take root in the name of Jesus. You are blossoming. You are shining. You are echoing. You are shining. You are flowing in the spirit of excellence in the name of Jesus. It will not take root. It will not take root. Oh, Rabakashala Dabosia. Verse 25, to whom will you liken me? And to whom shall I be equal? Saith the Lord. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created all these things, that bringeth out the angelic host by the number? He calleth them all by their names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabaka Shile Gadaba. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he doth not faint, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. In this month of prayer, oh, those of us that are tired, we are coming back with power. We are coming back with power. For everyone that has fainted, we are coming back with power. We are coming back with strength. Declare, I'm coming back with strength, with power. He said to them that had no might, increase that strength. Increase that strength. Strength to take the city. Strength to take that industry. Strength to take your deliverance. Strength to take your healing. Strength to take your marriage. Strength to take your children. Increase that strength. Declare, I'm increasing in strength. I'm increasing in divine strength. I am increasing in divine strength. I am no more weak. I'm no more tired. I am increasing in divine strength. He said, even the youths, they shall faint. Those who you think they have what it takes. The Bible says in that season they will faint. Their energy will not sustain them. He said they will faint and be weary. Even the young men, they shall utterly fall. Because these are the days of divine strength. These are not the days of a man. These are the days of spirits. He said they shall utterly fall. He said, but those of us that wait upon the Lord in the month of Bethesda, he said we shall renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run and we shall not be weary. We shall walk and we shall not faint. Lift up your voice and begin to magnify him. Lift up your voice and begin to magnify him. Lebaragada baragaba shata. Legada baragade baragazala da bokotala.